Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:20, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 19th, and this was a relatively firm day in Europe, a particularly firm day for a number of ASEAN markets in Asia, but Wall Street has closed out the day in mildly negative territory. In fact, the S&P 500 was almost completely unchanged on the day. But the Nasdaq gives us perhaps a better picture of what's going on, and it was that the Nasdaq posted an outside day, not quite a key day reversal because it did not close below the low of the previous day, but it's an outside day nonetheless. It hit a new intraday high, but was unable to sustain it and close out the day down just a tad, about 0.2% overall. But what it does help to emphasize is that appetite for paying all-time new highs when we are 2 days away from both the Fed and the Bank of Japan announcing rate decisions is fairly tepid. So what we did have was a little bit of just a pause in here. Nothing in the way of a downward dynamic, really, in the case of some of the high-flying sectors. What is interesting is that if you go and look at the sector spider in ETFs, so that you can get a picture of, what are the individual sectors doing on the S&P 500, then the vast majority of those sectors are in fact right in the region of their respective trend means, and yet the S&P 500 didn't quite get there and has since bounced. That also helps to give us an idea of just how influential those large tech companies are. So, Apple, having rebounded very strongly last week, has given up some of that advance in here today. Google, which had been very steady, has not pushed on either. Neither has Amazon. And Facebook, which really didn't pull back at all, neither did that go any higher in here today. When we start to think about it, then there's no great appetite for major risk taking on Wall Street when we have these momentous decisions coming up, and there is still speculation as to what it is that the Fed is likely to do. And I think that there are two important things that are likely to happen, and that are worthy of consideration in the fixed income markets. Of course, one is interest rates. And the potential, however slim, that the Fed will surprise markets and hike by a quarter of a point. The other is that we do have this impending change in how money market funds are valued coming up, and that is resulting in the LIBOR rate moving higher, and that is a potential issue. Of course, because LIBOR is the interbank offered rate. It's the rate at which banks are willing to lend to each other. So, with interest rates so very low, that spread has now picked up, and the TED spread, which in some respects was one of the indicators of stress in the banking sector back in 2007 and 2008, is now moving higher. A part of the reason for that is because LIBOR rates are moving up. Well, we do not see any evidence of any particular stress in the financial system in the US as a result of that. In fact, I think the banks are waiting with bated breath for a change to how money market funds are valued, so that they have the prospect of potentially making money from them, because right now they're a loss leader. And obviously, banks not being able to make any money from loans is rather an impediment. And of course, that issue is compounded for European and Japanese banks because they're presented with negative interest rates. Well, then the bet is that if the LIBOR rate is really only going up because of this impending change in money market funds, then it should stabilize afterwards. But of course, that is by no means a surety. So it is perhaps worth watching the banking sectors and individual bank shares to see whether they can in fact find support in the region of their respective trend means. So when we do look at those major indices, they are at very close to their highs. And this being such a, I guess, a news-laden week, then we can anticipate that there is going to be some sort of volatility. Now, with terrorist attacks over the weekend in New York, in New Jersey, in Minnesota, then and blessedly that there was no great loss of life following the bombings in New York, but that has at least added some, I guess, appeal to the precious metal markets. And gold was a little bit steadier in here today, and silver was up by about $37. Palladium continues to extend its impressive rebound, whereas platinum was only up about 5. It does help to underline the fact, though, that the precious metals have had a fairly large pullback already, and they are really just in need of a bullish catalyst to drive investors back into them. The dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, and not in a dynamic fashion against either the yen, the euro, or the pound, but the Australian dollar was a bit firmer, and the Canadian dollar was pretty much unchanged. In elsewhere in the commodity sector, both the sugar and the coffee markets were up, and particularly coffee was up in a dynamic fashion. So what we are seeing is that individual commodities are trading on their respective merits, and we're definitely seeing that that both coffee and sugar are in bull market territory overall. When we look a little bit wider, then in Asia this morning, the CSI 300 was up about 0.75%. Now, that was closed on Thursday and Friday. It'll be closed again at the beginning of October for Golden Week. But what the CSI 300 still has is a progression of higher reaction lows, and then it has closed much of the overextension relative to the trend mean, and provided that progression of higher reaction lows is sustained, and it's currently around the 3,200 level, those lows are at least, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Because Hong Kong has got those US interest rates, then we have had more volatility, both up and down in just the last few sessions in both the Hang Seng and the H shares, but provided they can hold their respective progressions of higher reaction lows, we can continue to give them the benefit of the doubt. But they have gone up more, so they do have more room in which to consolidate. Taiwan and Thailand were both up in dynamic fashion in here this week, or in here today, I should say. And we've had the dollar has been a little weaker, but their respective currencies, and the Korean won was also firmer in here today. The Asian dollar index was up in a dynamic fashion. So what we are seeing is that regardless of what it is that the Fed is likely to decide, there is still a compelling reason to you be interested in some of the emerging markets, particularly in the ASEAN region, and not least because their currencies had already experienced quite a large devaluation, and they are strengthening, that they continue to represent the engines of global growth. And then when you, and I've posted the long-term charts for Thailand and for Taiwan, and one would be forgiven for considering that they have been ranging for substantial periods of time, and they really are just in need of a catalyst to push them up out of what are, in some cases, very long-term ranges. And in Europe, the majority of markets were up, and the FTSE, the CAC, were up in excess of 1%. Actually, the FTSE 100 was up 1.5%. But what they really need to do is to break back above their respective trend means. When we look at that Euro Stoxx index for the Eurozone, and it's got upwards of 330 companies in it, then what it has done is ranged for 16 years, and we're pretty much in the middle of that range, but it has pulled back from its highs for the year, and that also represents the region of the trend mean. That's pretty much the same case for a number of the major European markets. They really do need to break back above their trend means. They need to be able to hold these progressions of higher reaction lows to really start to convince people that European equities, at least, have the potential to recover. The DAX has been leading on the upside. It has been able to sustain a move above its trend mean. It's still trading above the psychological 10,000, but it really does need to hold above the 10,000 level if we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And it is interesting that the MDAX, which is the mid-cap German index, is outperforming by a fairly substantial margin. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.